Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Pastor Rex Borman is coming up to speak to us. As you all know, this is the man responsible for Pastor Barry, so I don't know if that's good or bad.
No.
You know, you've heard Pastor Barry share many times about the impact and influence that Rex has had on his life and on his ministry, and how he was the one that first pushed that book across to him and said, you need to start taking these classes. God's got a calling on your life, and you need to answer that call. And he did. And this is the result. You are responsible.
How cool is that, huh?
That's cool.
It's exciting, Mike. I like it.
Exciting.
I like it.
So, Pastor Rex,
here. Thank you. Thank you all. It is a delight to be here. One of the things I love about St. Charles River Church, among the facts of, you know, all the really cool people that are here, and that we do have that long-term relationship with Barry and Gina and the Ivy family, and then a number of people, because we lived in the St. Louis area for a number of years, 10 years total, actually, our family from 87 to like 1996. And so I just love coming back, seeing friends and kind of hugging again and just reconnecting. But the other thing I like about this church is that we hit the marks on time. We're going to be done when we're done. Barry told me I have about an hour and a half to share this morning. He said you'd all leave by 12, but I could stay and entertain myself as long as I'd like. So, no, I love this fellowship. I love the people. I certainly love your pastor, your pastoral staff. The heart of this fellowship, when it's all said and done, is to reach out and serve the Lord. Touch people in the name of Jesus and celebrate the blessing of the Lord. So, on behalf of my family, on behalf of my lovely wife, Chris, for whom I have nothing but the deepest affection and undying love, we have been married now for 41 years. And if you know me for more than 41 minutes, you realize it's all because of her. She is gracious beyond measure, but she did make sure that I would come and represent her to all of you, and especially those who may know her, that just to share her love and her heart with you as well. So I do that in the name of the Lord. And I also want to put in a little pitch, if you don't mind. There was information up here about the Panama mission trip. That's coming up in February. I'm going. And I want you to come along. I really do. I know that there is, you know, it's that kind of thing where you have to take time off. And some of you, if you take time off from your job, it's not a paid time off. And so you kind of have to pay double, paying to go and paying by the sacrifice that you're missing here. But I just want to say straight up, and I, with all my heart, I believe this. There's nothing that you will invest in your future that will more affect and influence your life than to put yourself in the pathway of human need, to put yourself in a place and a culture where you can just make an impact for years to come on generations of people. And that's really what this Panama trip is about. That's really what the ministry in Kirundu is all about. And so we just would love to have you come and be a part of that. Whoever you have to talk to about it, whatever you have to do, however you have to scrimp and save, that doesn't mean take your tithes and pay for your trip. All the tithes paying people should say amen. Yeah, thank you very much. But it is. It's really well worth it. And so I just want to encourage you about that. Would love to have you do that. I'm an old bird, and the older I get to become, I have to tell you the truth, I don't really have all the answers. I am not completely responsible for Barry. I'm not. And nor am I responsible for you or anybody else in my world, my kids, my wife. Myself I'm responsible for. Everybody else I'm responsible to. I want to care for them and minister to them and share with them. And so I want to honor my opportunity to be with you today by sharing a word from the Lord and some unique perspectives that the Lord has given me about Him in a way that I think will help you and move you forward. And they tend to look to people in pastoral roles for answers. And the older you are and the whiter your hair, the more answers they think you have. Little do they know the actual truth. The older I become, and honestly, in all truth, the wiser I become in the things of the Spirit of the Lord, the more I understand that it's not about having the coolest set of answers. In fact, I have probably fewer answers today about everything than I had when I was 30. You've seen the bumper sticker that says, hire a teenager while they still know everything. Because by the time they're 30, they start to realize, I don't know as much as I thought I once did. And it was all about having the answers. But I've got to tell you that the older I get to become, and the more wise I get to become in the Spirit of the Lord, my questions are getting better. I don't have a lot more answers, but my questions these days are really cool questions. I don't mind asking God about the mysteries of the universe. I don't mind asking God about the depths and the mysteries of my own life and my behaviors and my wants and my needs and my issues. You say, oh no, we don't want a message from a guy who has issues. Huh? Really? That's the beauty of this thing. We get to ask the right questions. So today, I just want to share a question with you. That's really what I brought with me. I don't have a great answer, but I have a great question. And so the question of today is this question. That's right out of the scripture. Is good enough good enough? Come on, say it with me. Is good enough good enough? I think that's a great question because the reality is that many of us think about excellence and the best and the coolest and the amazing thing and all that God has for us. And we think and we dream and we imagine and maybe even we pray and pursue in these idealistic terms. But all too often our actual lifestyle doesn't match the idealism of our faith. And somewhere we stop short of what could possibly be, and we settle down for good enough. And so I want to ask you, is good enough good enough? Come on, ask your person nearby you, is good enough good enough? You might want to ask that about your marriage, your parenting, your giving, your praying. Is good enough good? I can see we better pray here because some of you need real help. And the more you need help, the more I'm going to need help up here as well. So, Father, I do pray in Jesus' name that you will help us today. God of amazing mercies and grace, gracious, wonderful, loving, glorious God. Thank you that you, from your place of power and perfection and prominence, do not sit and demand us to somehow reach to where you are. No, in fact, you descend through the depths to meet us where we are. And because of your willingness to become poor, you have made our lives rich by the power of your gracious Spirit. And so we pray that you'll do that today again. Just plow through all the stuff that is our lives. Help us to be, of everything else that we might be today, not so spiritual and much more honest, much more truthful, much more open. God, do that for us. Would you do that? Help us to be open today in the name of the Lord to the revelation that you want to bring to us, to the truth that you want to reveal to us and then inside of and through our lives as we learn of you today. That's what you said, Jesus. Take my yoke on you. Take my truths on you. Take this journey with me and learn me. And so that's what I pray today, that you will help us all, me included, all of us, to learn Jesus today. We ask it in faith, believing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you love God? Come on, wave your hand around. Tell people, say to somebody, I love God. I love God. That's the beauty. He loves you. And because he loves you, you believe that, you begin to love him. I love him because he loves me. So I love God. And if you love God, you really ought to love Scripture. Somebody should say amen to that. You're missing your real chances here. These are your big chances. And if I don't think you're listening, I'll just come back and say it again. It'll take so much longer. You'll really get so much little less truth than you might otherwise get. So even if you're just, you know, sort of humoring me, act like you're listening. If you love God, you should love the Scripture. I mean, because that, there you go, because that's who he is. This is the Word, but he is the Word. He's the eternal Word. He's the living Word. He's the Word made flesh. And so in everything that you know about the Bible, if it does not enhance and build and develop and deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're not really understanding the Word. Amen. I love the Scripture for lots of reasons. And one of them is because it's not just laden with answers. It's laden with some powerful questions. It's laden with a lot of stuff that just challenges you in the deep places of your soul. And then there are those troubling scriptures that you just bump into and you go, okay, you're not going to hear that one preached about much. And today's scripture is one of those. From Numbers chapter 32, the entirety of chapter 32 of the book of Numbers. Now, I'll tell you the story and tell you about the sin that's involved in this in just a little bit. And then I'm also going to actually get to the why and the what now. Because that's every bit as important as the sin and the story, is the why and then the what now of this particular scripture. But the scripture itself is in Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23. Do we have that? Can we put that up on the screen? And we can all read that, well, after the arrow stops dancing around the leaves. There it is. Now we're going to read this together. Everybody that can read, read. If you can't read, don't be embarrassed. Just listen. If you fail to do this, everybody reading out loud, if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out. What an encouraging word. You know, let's celebrate. Demas hath forsaken me. In Timothy, Paul writes about all of his friends and all of these co-workers, and basically he throws this one out there. Demas, he's just turned his back on me because he loves the present world more than he loves the things of the kingdom of God. He's made a choice. Those are those sad scriptures, those things where people turn around and go the other direction. How many times God says, I would do these things for you, but you wouldn't let me do them for you. Those sad sort of scriptures. There's one in Psalm 106, I think it's verse 15, that says, when they were in the wilderness and they were wanting, they were yearning for flesh. God was feeding them manna, but they were wanting flesh. They were wanting something different. And so God gave them flesh. In fact, God inundated. Have you read the story? He inundated. Quail fell dead, not clean, not cooked, just dead. You know, stinking foul, smelling. Stacked up for a mile in every direction from the camp, 3 feet deep. You had to wade through the carcasses to collect the flesh. And this is the story of which Psalm 106 verse 15 speaks, and it says, God granted them their request. You want meat? You're sick and tired of the blessings of God and the provisions of God? You want the stuff that you want? I'll give it to you. I'll give you more than you can eat. I'll stuff you full of it and make you sick of it. But here's what it says. God granted their request and sent leanness to their soul. What an exciting scripture. What an encouraging word. But see, this is the reality. I told you there's a question in this thing, because the issue here is good enough? Is good enough good enough? I think I have some level of an answer, but that's the issue here. That's the sin that really this scripture is speaking about. The story will help you to understand the sin, but make no mistake, this sin that will find you out isn't adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, doing all these other, it's not the big ones that everybody's figured out in the church. How many of you know the holiness churches and the assemblies of God figured out years ago that divorce is like the unpardonable sin? Come on, I'm teasing with you. But they do. There's people that just act like that's like, you can murder, you can kill, you can steal, you can lie, you can cheat. Everybody does that. But if you ever get divorced, your life is over. Seriously? People who are expert in all of these sins, well, which of the big sins is this one? This is no sin that you can commit. This is no sin that ends in ing. Steal-ing, lie-ing, cheat-ing, fornicate-ing, divorce-ing. No, no, no. This sin has nothing to do with activity. This sin has to do, in fact, with unwillingness to engage in activity. This sin that Moses is talking about here in the scripture, be sure, if you do this, this is a sin against God, and this sin will find you out, is the sin of settling. The story is the story of Israel in its wanderings. How many of you know Israel made a journey from Egypt and their bondage all the way to the promised land of God, across the Sinai Peninsula? 2 million strong, give or take a few hundred thousand in the middle of the journeys that God might wipe out by plague or that might fall into the earth and be eaten up. Have you read the story?
Yes.
It's all in there. The actual journey should have taken a couple of weeks, and it did. Because 40 years prior to this particular passage in Numbers chapter 32, they had stood on the edge of the promised land. And God had said, now's your time to go in. 2 weeks into the journey, you're ready to go. Let's get in there. Let's do this. And they sent in spies to check it out. And the spies came back with a sort of a mixed report. Everything's great, except that, we just can't see ourselves moving in. And so God said, okay, then all of you unbelievers will die in the wilderness. Every man 20 years of age and above will die in this wilderness before I let you go in. Now it's 40 years later. 40 years have passed, and they stand again on the edge of the promised land. They are standing in the Transjordan territory where Og, the king of Bashan, and our Sihon, anyway, Sihon and Og, these two kings in the Transjordan region have been deposed, and they're sitting on the land and they're waiting. They're going into the promised, they're right on the edge of going in. And the tribes of Dan and Reuben, or Gad and Reuben, say, you know what? We've looked at this land, and we're farm people, and we've got sheep, and we've got cattle, and we've got stuff, and this land is really good for farming right here. And I know the promise of God is over there, and I know that's the promised land, but would you just let us settle? This isn't that, but this is good enough. At least it's good enough for us. It's good enough with us. Is good enough good enough? And do you know what Moses' response was? Moses said, you wicked, wretched, rotten, lousy, I love you in Jesus' name. Members of the family of faith, you sound just like your dead, unbelieving ancestors. And you intend to discourage everybody from going and moving forward with this stupid request. You have to get it. The idea, essentially, if you read that, you say to yourself, oh no, this sin of settling, this good enough is never, ever good enough. But that's really not the end of the story. The story goes on. Because their response goes something like this. Well, I get that. But what if we put our children and our wives in this land and we settle down here, but all of our fighting men arm themselves and we go with you In fact, we'll be the vanguard. We'll go in front of you. We'll be the first ones in the battle. And we will fight and sacrifice and serve and give and work, work, work until everybody in Israel has inherited their inheritance. Until all the enemies of God are driven out of the land and the people of God experience the fullness of the promise, we will go every step of the way. And then, and only then, we'll return to this Transjordan region, back to our homes and our families. And Moses said, okay, if you do that, if you do that, then good enough is good enough. See, there's the answer to the question. Good enough is good enough. As long as good enough also incorporates your complete commitment, 100% involvement in the best thing that God has being given to everybody else in the world and in the body of Christ. If your good enough doesn't get in the way of God's plan and God's glory and God's blessing on everybody else, then good enough. But if you fail to do this, that's the scripture. If you fail to do this, then you can be sure that you are sinning against God. And this sin will find you out. And so it is that they did just what they said, and that's the way the story ends. They went through, they helped the people of Israel, they sacrificed, they served, they did all. How does that look and work in our world? Well, don't stand in front of anybody doing anything. You can settle anywhere you want to, quite frankly. You can. As long as your settling doesn't get in the way of continuing to serve the Lord and help everybody in the body of Christ to fulfill their gifting and calling. See, that's the problem. Most of us, our settling isn't based on that kind of a commitment. I'm never going to go on a missions trip, but I'm going to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to the people who go. I'm going to scholarship 5 people to go. Why? Because I believe that's the will of God and the way of God. That's settling. That's saying good enough for you, but that's also doing it in the way that God intends. You see, the why and the what now are every bit as important as knowing the sin and the story. Come on. Why? I've asked this question of people for hundreds of thousands of times, probably over a whole bunch of years of ministry. Why would you settle for anything less than the blessing of the Lord? I mean, can I ask it of you in just a couple of ways? You have an opportunity. You. I mean, look in the mirror and go, me? You have an opportunity to confab and walk with and fellowship with the God of the universe. People who communicate with aliens have nothing on you. Amen. I am dealing every day with the God of the universe. He walks with me. He loves me. He has made himself available to me. He wants to instruct me and bless me and glorify himself in me, in my world every day. This is who he is. Why would you settle for a prayer life that involves you talking? Tell me about your prayer. I do this. I ask people, hundreds, thousands of people, tell me about your prayer life. These are devout Christians and they talk about talking. Always talking. Some of them talk in, you know, in King James's Englisheth, for the glorieth of Godeth. And they sound like Daffy Duck. But I think, you know, if you have an appointment today with the wisest person on the earth, don't you think you ought to show up to shut up and listen and learn rather than coming in with your all-important agenda? That's just one thing. I could take 1,000, but I don't have time. I just want you to understand, settling for less than God's blessing and God's best. It's probably not the best choice you could ever make. Good enough isn't always good enough. It's only ever good enough if you're completely committed to the full will of God being enhanced for everybody in your world. But I'd like to suggest that it's probably not a good idea for most of us, most any time, in most any situation, on most any given day. So what now? I told you it would be the sin, the story, the why, and the kind of what now. What now? Well, what now, I think, is that we just decide, you know what? Hey, I'm ready to re-up. I'm ready to recommit. I'm ready to sort of awaken. And maybe it's not a re-upping for some of you. Maybe it's just an upping. I used to think people in the kingdom had backslidden. I would meet all these people who said they were people of faith and Christians and all these amazing things. And I just thought they were unhappy and nasty and mean-spirited. And they looked and acted and talked and thought and played like the world. And I just wanted to say to them, have you met Jesus? I still say that. Amen. I used to think they backslid. They fell away. And then I started to realize, you know, some of them never front slid. They've never acceded to this level. They've never heard of God and known of God and responded to God as this God, who is the God of the universe and who loves them with an everlasting love and who has invited them to come into his world and be a part and partner with him. Amen. And I promise you, that blows good enough out of the water. That is never, ever good enough. You are never, ever completely full and satisfied. You say, ooh, I know everything there is to know in the moment about God, but I also know that I am around a corner from another moment. And he will be greater still in the moment. I am done with low living. I am done with no faith. I am done with worldliness. I don't want good enough. I want God enough that I will re-up and recommit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. I'm done.
I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come forward. Rex, if you do not know the history of Rex, he was the pastor that in 1987 stepped onto the platform at First Assembly of God. I was attending the church at the time. I was still cutting hair. We were in our family hair business. And I sat behind a couple. I told him the story yesterday. I don't know if I'd ever told him the story. There was this amazing godly couple that was sitting in front of me. I had so much respect for them. I could never in my life imagine living like this couple. Just amazing couple. His name was Gary, and well, their names were Gary and Pat Noah. Gary's gone to be with the Lord since that day. But Gary, that Sunday night, when it was time to really decide as a congregation, this was the will of God for St. Charles First Assembly of God to bring Rex and Chris and their family on as our senior pastor, our leaders. I sat and I listened to Gary. This is Gary and Pat Noah. Pat looks over at Gary. She says, well, honey, what did you think? He said, you know, I've sat under such and such pastor and such pastor since 19, and he named it 40 years worth of pastors. He said, I learned more about the love of God and the grace of God in the last two services than I did those 40 years. That got my attention. He had some gray hair I didn't at the time. He had some gray hair, and she looked at him. She said, honey, I agree. And my journey was on in mentorship. Rex mentored me for 6 years. He's the one that pushed a Bible across this table for me in his office in 1987 and said, Bear, stop running from God. God's got a plan for your life. I pushed the Bible back, the book back. I said, there you go. You keep that. He said, no, Bear. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. And it's been a great journey ever since. This is my pastor, and I love him deeply. We bring him in once a year because he is an elder of this church, and we love this brother incredibly. We want to bless him. He is traveling more full-time now today out from the church there in Charlotte. And the one individual that was influenced by him equally was a man named Sid. How many remember the story of Sid? Sid came to Jesus Christ as a result of my brother's death in 1987. And Sid came to church and he heard this message that he had never heard before about the grace and the mercies of God. And he looked at me and he said, Bear, I'm coming to church with you. Long story short. And now he's pastoring the church with Rex out in Charlotte. So it's a great journey. It's an amazing thing. Rex will be, did you mention to him you will be with us in Panama? You did. Okay. He will be with us in Panama in February. Today is the day of decision. So we want to make sure that you all be aware. Today is a day that we're asking you to make that commitment, yes, to Panama. And some have already done that out in the foyer, and I'm excited about that. Right after service today, we're going to take a love offering for Rex. We want to pay his expenses, getting him here and getting him on his way. Right after that, I'm going to have you stand. We're going to dismiss. And then I have the greatest honor of a baby dedication with the Saul family. Aaron and Brandy, I have the privilege of marrying them a couple of, how long ago? A year and a half ago, and not even 2 years ago. At one of the wineries out here in Augusta area, and man, it was a beautiful setting. Aaron and Brandy are an amazing godly couple. They got my attention a long time ago, but I want to tell you something. I am privileged to be able to dedicate today one of the most beautiful gifts of God in their life. And I know that Skylar Marie Saul is a gift from the Lord. And if you would feel like you could stay and be a part of that baby dedication, I think it would be a great honor for the Saul family for you to do that. So, everybody ready to give? We're going to give back to the Lord. If you're making out checks, make it out to SCRC. Everything we get in this offering will go to Rex and all of his expenses. And we want to bless the guy. He's got Convoy of Hope trips coming up. He's got multiple mission opportunities coming up in the United States as well as internationally. So we want to bless this guy. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give to you. Because in giving and honoring, the word says, honor those whom honor is worthy, whom are worthy of the honor. We want to honor this brother in the Lord because he is impacting lives wherever he goes, raising up pastors, raising up missionaries, raising up all of us to that level of never settling in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And every believer said, amen. God bless you as you give. I'll be back in just a second to close.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.